Here's Morty.
Get Olive, come Olive, 11A1. Two dots.
At the two dots.
7, 8, 8, 1
We have a, I have a Goldman online. Let's see, how many people, I have another one online. I have two people online. Let's see, who else I have online? I've got Fischer, and I've got Goldman. You're on, Camille.
Okay, what did you say?
Nice of you to join us tonight.
11A1.
11A1. Eight line sounds from the Hebrew. Okay. Yes. 11A1. Shkayach. Shkayach Nayach. As we wind down this year with page 11. Brecha Shenifsaka. Let's see here. Is that what we're up to? Yeah. We're up to regarding a layered branch that was severed with laden fruit. So you have a branch laden with fruit, and it was severed. Okay. Now, if you go ahead and you put it in the ground, guess what? We start the count again, and therefore everything that grows on the fruit is now going to be Arla. So the Gemara says, Amar Reb Yudah and Loisof Dover Berecha, not only the case of growing on a layered branch, but afilu ilon. The ilon would be the same thing if I took the ilon and replanted the whole tree, and it was a tree laden with fruit, the same din would be so, right? Almost like...
Even though it's 3 years old?
Yeah. It could be 2,500 years old. It makes no difference.
Uh-huh.
It could be the Eish HaChayim that Hashem HaTeich HaGon. If you're going to uproot it and replant it, it's Arla.
Yeah.
Now the Gemara is going to explain why he had to tell us this. It's the same thing. Chayra is a davar pashut. You know what? You're bringing up a gevaldik idea there. That's a very good question. Right? Hashem made the eights. Only the one, you know, only made tadas. How could he eat from it? They were all Arla. They were all less than 3 years old. Oh, sorry. Oberstein wants to tie this before Matan Torah. Apparently not. Well, we know that there were other suspensions. We know that the brothers married their sisters, right? And Adam married himself. Okay. Let's leave it at that. It's a little bit of a joke because to me it's like there's a difference between planting and bria. That's the real answer. Because when you create a tree, the tree is created as a 20-year-old tree. If you would cut down any tree after bria and count the rings around it, you'd find 25 or 40 or 50 or however way the Baruch Hashem
wanted. So you're saying they weren't really Arla.
They weren't Arla because Arla is in the time of Netia. But this is a din in Bria. Oh, Bria. Maybe it's different. Okay. So the Gemara says, Dom Rabbi Yosef Shem Rebekah and Batal Shakari, if you plucked an onion and tithed it with Shusala and then you replanted it, so you're replanting an onion which is chulin. What's the din? Kimmel shehishcher. As soon as the leaves turn dark, matzal afikula, then you have to give meiser for the entire onion. You don't just give meiser according to the amount that it grew after you planted it. No, the whole onion gets transformed. That's what it says over here in number 11. It does not suffice to separate the tithes to the added growth because the onion is now regarded as a completely new entity, growing afresh from the ground. Even the original of the onion, the original portion, becomes tevel again. Okay? Now, so let's see what's going on over here. So Reb Chiya, right? Reb Chiya b'shem Reb Yochanan. So he said, Basal Sha'akarai. So the first version was who? The first version was Reb Yaisi b'shem Reb Yochanan. The second version is Reb Chiya b'shem Reb Yochanan. So we have two different Amoraim quoting Reb Yochanan. Batal Sha'akarai, Vushasola, if, again, let's see if you guys are sharp. Let me see if you can pick out what the difference is between what Reb Chiya said and what Reb Yossi said. He says, Basal Sheikar, Kimisha Hishresh, is Maslefi Kulai. What's the difference between what the first one said and the second one?
One's with the leaves and one's with the Shrashim.
One said what?
Hish
hair. Right. One said, right. So one said black, it turns black, the leaves turn black. And one says once it takes root, right? So even if the leaves have not darkened, oh, Maislefi Kuloi. Deloitiz Rameimor of Hochokain. So the objective of Reb Yudon's statement, meaning in the case of the replanted tree, why did he have to tell me the case of the replanted tree for? That you might think it's the same as the replanted onion. You might have thought that the fruits on a replanted tree are regarded as newly grown entities, just as would be reckoned ruled in the case of the replanted onion. And therefore, they would become subject to our law even before the new growth exceeds 1/200th of the fruit's original volume. In other words, once it becomes hishrish, it'll immediately, right? So that's why Reb Yudon taught us the case of the replanted tree is, in fact, more comparable to the case of the severed layer, regarding which the rules are the pre-existing fruits do not become prohibited until the volume is greater than the 200th, right? So
there's a special halacha
in batzel? There's a special halacha batzel, correct.
Is there any reason why batzel is different?
Is it because it's a bottle or is it because it's miser? Let's see if anybody says the pshat. Let's see here. In the middle of the third paragraph of 12, it says, it would seem that the difference between the Mishnah's case and the case of the replanted onion, maybe this is where he's avoiding the question, lies in the fact that when a layered branch is severed from its parent tree, no actual act of planting has taken place. The branch has merely experienced a change in the source of its nourishment, right? That's not enough to transform the fruits into completely new entities. Okay, so he's saying very good. He's saying, so all I'm doing is I'm not replanting, right? I'm just adding another source of nourishment. So I'm plugging in. Right, I'm doing a bypass. Right, I'm doing what do they call this thing? Whatever. So that might be the difference.
By the onion,
it's a complete replanting, so it's a new entity.
So it's not an onion; it can be anything that we completely replant.
Yeah. So I mean, but of course, it's not going to work out too well because what about the tree? What about the tree? The replanting, so let's look at 14. Reb Yudon maintains the replanting of the tree is not really comparable to the onion. Why? Only the latter represents a normal matter of cultivation. Right? In other words, onions are, he says, that's normal, that's done very often to onions, that they're uprooted and they're replanted. The fact that it was planted in a conventional way is what causes it to be regarded as a completely new growth. Let's see, I didn't read this. The logic behind this is as follows. When one plants ordinary chulin kernels of wheat or barley, the grains that are planted ultimately disintegrate in the ground are not present in the final harvest. Surely, all of the resultant crop must be tithed without subtracting the amount of seed that was planted. So, the rabbis ordained, so that this always would happen, that anything that was planted in a normal manner, even something which doesn't disintegrate, such as an onion, the rabbis said that they should all be the same. That's what he's saying here. So he's saying this is really a din drabanan. Okay? The tree fruits are not usually grown by replanting an entire tree. That's very unusual. Since the replanting of a tree is not normal, then it's not subject to the stringency. Okay, so this is a whole different... This number 14 answers your question. Okay? Next. Going now to 11A3. Let's restate our question. We've got three cases here. We've got the case of the first case is a grafting, right? What were we calling grafting, or what was the first one called?
Uh,
Layering.
Layering, sorry. First case was layering. Second case was the tree replanted. Third case was the onion being replanted. Difference in halacha? Major difference in halacha. This, by the onion, it becomes completely subject to maestros. You have to maestro the entire onion. By the tree and the layering, we said it has halacha. It only will become usher once it exceeds 1/200th of the growth. It will not envelop that the existing pre-existing fruits will become completely arla. What is the difference? We just explained the difference. Because by wheat kernels, it normally the seed disintegrates, and there for sure it's completely a new thing, brand new thing. Panam chadashas bo lakan, for sure those are brand new and need to get maestros. But by the onion, you've got the ikar. But in order, the Chacham said, so as not to differentiate between one type of a food being replanted and another type of food, so they made it across the board all the same halach. So you have to be ma'isel l'fi kulay. Masha'in came by a tree, that is not the normal thing to do, to replant an entire tree. Therefore, the original fruits retain their status as heter, and whatever grows afterwards, that becomes arla, that's the hosafa. You need 1/200th or more to asra. Okay? Next. Chilfai shal Rabbi Yochanan, or 11.3. Okay? Chilfai shal Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon Lakish. Tevel, maushi yesem yesem masayim. This tevel means, with a tav, it's talking about spices, tavlin. So he wants to know, what's the deal? We know that the shear of regular arla is one part in 200. What about something that is a spice, which is impacting more, you know, more of the food? Maybe requires maybe even more than one in 200.
You would think it's lapa. You think it would be less than one in 200 because it's so potent. And it takes very little for new growth to be
so that's
substance.
When I say more, I meant that it'll asher more. I don't mean it'll try. You're right. I didn't say the words right. You're right. You have it exactly right. Right. If in case it was not clear, I didn't mean it requires more to asher. It means it will asher more than one part in 200. Okay. Amalei ain't tell Yosem Yisraim. So they said no difference. Everything's the same. So this is a Yerushalmi, you know, it's like in the Babli, you'd have Arayas from here, Arayas from there, go through two pages, and here it's the same. End of discussion. Okay. Frank the Gemara, Vasninon. The Gemara asked a question from a Mishnah. Where's this Mishnah? 19? It's below. Okay, I guess we're going to have it in chapter 2, Mishnah 3. It says, Kol ha-machamit 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 whatever you have, any agent that's forbidden, such as arla or klein akarem, and that leavens a dough, mechametz, it leavens a dough, or metabel, it seasons a dish, or medameya, it's a mixture of you know, and mixes in with other chulin. So, you know, the shear normally by truma is one part in 200, the shear by klein akarem and arla is normally one part in 200, so what does it say? Do they quote the Mishnah in its whole? It says any concern. One second. What does it say? What the din is?
This Gemara does not
quote it. It doesn't quote it. Let me just see if it says it over there. So that's on page what? 23b. I just want to see. I just want to see if it says it clearer.
It listed seasoning, right?
Yes, that is going to be the question. That is correct.
Listed seasoning, so you see, there's no nafkaminim, and how potent the item you're using is. That's all the same. It's in the same sentence.
That's correct. Yes, the lashon of the Mishnah there is a little, just one word extra that they didn't quote. Kol ha-machamis ha-matam ha-medameya b'truma b'arlo b'kloy ha-kerem osur. Okay? So, it says b'feirish that no matter what it is, it osurs the whole taruvus. Right? Now, it says kol. So, the Gemara is going to declare now. What is the percentage? What's the ratio? In tamer l'meir masayim, If you're going to tell me that we're talking about 100 by Truma or 200 by Klei HaKerem. So then, the Gemara asks, when you're off on base, afilu lo chimet, afilu lo tibel. Even if it didn't cause chametz to happen, or even if it didn't spice the dish. Anytime you have a taruvus of Truma, it's also if it's less than one part in 100, right? So what do you have to say? It's mechametz. It's clearly a chiddush in the Mishnah that's telling me there's something special about mechametz which exceeds the normal shear. So they weren't just speaking this out. It's obvious, right? So elamai, it must mean that if it's seasoning, that seasoning is different, right? It's a, let's just focus on what we're talking about, which is seasoning. How could Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish say that the same way that shear of Arla is one part in 200, so too the shear for seasoning is also one part in 200. There it says clearly, Kol HaMatabel is Osir, that whenever you have a seasoning, it's Osir. So you see it's even less than one, even if the spice is less than one part in 200, it's still going to Osir. Ella, the more answers, Ba'anavim Anan Kayamin. In other words, we're not talking about in that Mishnah about regular spices. You're right. Regular spices, the other way around. I'm sorry. Not that Mishnah. That Mishnah is talking about spices. Spices are talking about Asr B'Kol Shehu. But when Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish said they're din, that it's the same, they meant the type of spice which is not a strong spice.
He's
talking about sweet grapes, it says here. It's only regarding sweet grapes that Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish said that what?
That
is the same ratio. That's the same ratio, correct. They agree that ordinary seasonings will ask even greater than 200. Now, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yochanan, B'Shaloi Tzomku. That's only true if the grapes did not shrivel, meaning they didn't make them into raisins. Avalim Tzomku, if they made them into raisins, Yesh Tavol V'Yosim V'Sayim. Then it would, that exception, right? Then even they would agree that it exceeds its normal ratio. Raisins apparently have a big effect on the food in which they're cooked. That's why they have, we're going to have some people, I know my father hated raisin challah. My mother was told very clearly, absolutely no raisin challah. Or forget it. You know, it's over.
You don't like raisin challah.
My father didn't like raisin challah. I'm just telling you, don't buy raisin challah. Okay. Now, Rebchiyah b'shem Rebbe Yochanan b'shalo b'shlo. That rule that grapes and raisins do not flavor a dish more than 200 times, that's raisins made from grapes that did not fully ripen. Avlam b'shlo, but if the grapes have fully ripened and then they were made into raisins, these are the plump raisins, you know. What kind of raisins? What are they advertised? You know, good raisins. Yesh tevel b'yosim masayim. Then it would work even more than 200. Because those are very powerful raisins. Okay, Rabbi Yosef b'shem Yishuv ben Levi b'shem Gdoya. Noisei tam me'achav me'ah. So he said that normally, this is like a yordeya, the rest of the daf is like a yordeya daf. That nois and tam, it's not, we're used to knowing one nois and tam is one part in 60. He holds it's one part in 100. Okay? That's the first shita. That's Rabbi Yosi, B'Shem Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, B'Shem Rabbi Hodaya. Now Rabbi Chiya, in the name of Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, in the name of Rabbi Hodaya, he holds no. Noisim tam, echad mishishim, the usual thing that we're accustomed to. Right? Now, Rabbi Chiya is challenged. Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Chiya bar Bo, Rabbi Yosi palagalach, Rabbi Yosi argues on who? On you. Number one, Rabbi Yosi argues on you, like we just said, Rabbi Yosi holds it's 100. And Masisim Pligal Tarvechon and the Mishnah argues on both of you. Okay? Kol HaMachamah Tamu Tamu HaMadameh. Another one is going to quote that same Mishnah we just quoted a second ago. And it's going to make the same Diyak again. In Tamil HaMeil Masayim, then Afilu HaKimus Afilu HaTivel. El HaBiyayisar and HaKayam must be talking about where more, the dish has more than 100 or 200 times the spice. So therefore what? So what's the question? Okay, how can you say that the substance that imparts flavor are nullified one part in 60? In other words, Rav Chiya just said, he didn't specify, you know, a distinction. He was talking about regular, Yisroim, he says anything that gives Tom, the shear is 1/60. So he's asking him, what do you mean? It says over here that you have Tevel, you know, Tevel and the spices, and it's more than you know, 100. Okay, you're right. I'm talking about where it's meat. Permitted meat that was cooked with permitted meat. He was not referring to seasonings. Right? So that means, so 12, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's term, substances that impart flavor, that does not mean substances designated for flavor and seasoning. It's referring to simple things like ordinary foods like meat. Okay.
One was usher, one was mutter.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. Rabbi Yossi, he bossed up a boss, or he shall call his term. That whether the forbidden meat falls into a dish of meat, or whether it's other forbidden foods, which are less flavorful than meat, fall into a dish. And unfortunately, number 14, he uses an example, fish. Why he had to use fish, I don't know.
So there is no machlokas, you're just talking about different types of items. One that are flavorings and one that are...
There you go. No machlokas at all. Correct. Then when it comes to taruvus, it's a very simple rule. If let's suppose you don't know. You know, I don't know whether this is going to give, you know, this fell into this oikol. How do I know whether it gave Tom in it or didn't it give Tom into it? So the Gemara gives a simple rule. Look at whatever fell into it as if it was an onion. So if it was an onion, and if it would have fallen in according to that shear that fell in, and it would give Tom, then it rashes it. And if not, not. That's this rule.
The size.
Why would you do that?
You're doing that to assess whether or not they impart flavor to the mixture.
The only way to tell is by tasting it.
Listen, why do you assume it's an onion?
No, you're not assuming it's an onion. You're making believe it's an onion so that you can assess whether something is that size would be no same Tom. I mean, it's quite difficult if you're talking about two types of meat, whether it's nois and tom or not nois and tom. If you were to replace that amount of meat with an onion, then you could better be mashayer it. Whether you have to actually do this or imagine it, I guess.
Pretty big chumrah.
16, it says, if a forbidden food fell into a dish, and we do not know how flavorful the forbidden food is, and thus cannot determine whether it imparted flavor into the dish, it's viewed as though it were as flavorful as onions or leek. If that is sufficient to impart flavor, it's prohibited. Even though the food actually fell into it, might be considerably less flavorful than onions or leek. Okay. Let's go to the English at the top. According to this method of measuring, it's evident many prohibited substances with a flavor that is weaker than an onion or leek will prohibit food in which they became mixed, even though its taste was not, in fact, impacted by them. Nonetheless, such is the ruling because they did not distinguish between types of food. Right? They wanted to have absolutes. We'll call it loy plug, call it whatever you want. They wanted to have an ironclad standard, correct? It follows the ratio of 60-1 or 100-1 established by Rabbi Shimon ben Levi is a fixed standard and applies to all foods, even foods less flavorful than meat. And with this, we end Daf Yud Aleph.